welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is Now or Never. And it is Feedback Friday. Now, I do get calls, and I have some feedback, but this is really more unsolicited feedback. I should probably have an Echoplex. Anybody that has played music in the 70s, 80s, and so forth, that's a device that was really popular. It created this echoey sound you could use, kind of created a loop or what have you. But anyway, long story short, I do have some unsolicited advice. You know, and I'm one of those people that when I go to a concert and the musicians, or I go to a show, and they want to preach to you, whether that is the design of the script or whether they just want to take a second and preach to you about how bad the orange man is. Or they want to dive into personal politics, I'm one of those that will yell out, you know, keep the politics out, you know, just play. We came here to play, not for your politics. And so we all have a place to go where we get our preaching and uplifting spiritual edification and so forth. So I really try not to necessarily be preachy with this show, because I completely respect everybody's religious expressions, paradigms, views, and what you have developed, hopefully, in your relationship with the Lord. I have to respect that, because only you and He know what, you know, you've been informed or enlightened or what have you. So anyway, I need to dive back into this. But before I do, the debt is fraud. There is merit in understanding and telling people right out the gate, you know, the debt's fraud, right? Because if what the government is doing is fraudulent, then everything that they're doing and all the things that they're spending, not everything, but 90%, folks, if you want to look at the budget, maybe I'll post the budget. Maybe I will actually do an episode where I kind of go through the budget just at a high level so I can post it and you can read it for yourself. This way, you can actually go through the budget and say, oh my gosh, look how much money we spend on things that the federal government has no authority. Bottom line, all these people complaining about taxes, taxes is not the problem. It's the spending. Because as long as government keeps on spending money they don't have, they're going to keep coming out there with their hands out, grabbing it and taking it from you. We have to actually prove to them and the rest of the world that, one, they can't take that debt and they can't be spending that money. And the only way to do that is through interposition at your county level, demanding that your county, you know, shut down the, you know, the money laundering and all of the stuff that they're doing regarding money that has no business being in our government. Folks, this is the divine nature of our design. If it has not been authorized by the law, then they cannot do it. This kind of goes through some feedback, some indirect feedback that I have with people that, you know, I've either worked with, engaged with, or what have you. But I just want to emphasize, the debt is fraudulent. We do not owe a penny of that. Now, as I've said before, if these nations think, or if the people, actually, let's get down to where the power really resides. If the people of these nations really think that they, you know, deserve a pound of flesh for, you know, how their money has been spent or stolen from them by throwing money into America so that we could be capitulated, then they should actually go seek from their leaders that pound of flesh, and we'll be happy to ship you our leaders so you can get a pound of flesh out of them if we're done with them. Because there's plenty of people out there, and I know that there's people that are have movements all about getting back justice, and I work with people that seek, want, and demand, we got to have this justice. And they prod me and poke me and constantly say, you got to get on board with that. And I go, if I'm worried about seeking justice right now, we will never get justice, because we have to understand what it takes just to get back our framework. We have to restore the rule of law and the framework. You cannot have honest preaching in the halls of righteousness, religious righteousness, whatever, where you go and worship. You cannot have honest preaching as long as the government has its heels on your preacher's neck. You cannot have justice in the court system as long as the government has their heel of injustice on your neck and their corruption in their court. Now, I'll give you a different way to look at this paradigm. But here's a little bit of unsolicited feedback, because every time people call me, and I call them back. Now, there's a gal that's, you know, I constantly call back, and I've never connected with her, but she's given me these suggestions, and God bless her. But she calls me from a phone number that happens to be from a grain or a seed exchange or something like that. And I call back, and I think she's from Tennessee, maybe Kentucky. I remember the first time I thought she said she was in Alaska, but I think it was just wrong, because everything else from those calls, because she's called me a few times. I do try to call back. I'm trying to call you. You have to leave your phone number. And, oh, by the way, I think she tried to give me an email. But, folks, if you've got email, just send me an email. Right there on the contact page, I have both my email and phone number. I'm telling you this, it's right there if you reach out and contact me. And if you have not had a successful way, because when you call me and I don't have a direct number to call you back at, to where I can leave a message if you're not going to be available. If you call me and you can't do that, then you need to send me an email. If you happen to have Gmail, if you happen to have Reagan.com, if you happen to have most of the internet browser services or what have you, there is a good likelihood that I will not be able to send you an email directly first. I can reply to your email, and that's because these filters, these internet filters, will recognize, oh, well, this is a reply back, so this probably isn't spam. But if I actually tried to email you, if I tried to email you directly at a Gmail account for the first time, it will mark it as spam, delete it, or throw it in your junk folder, whatever, and you won't get it. And I can do it, and I've had this problem. As a matter of fact, I've even had this problem in sending email to your legislators, because they're putting spam filters on so that they only recognize Hotmail, Gmail, you know, the big tech email, and they deliberately shut out private domains like reclaimingtherepublic.org. And so what am I to do? What am I to do? You have to do, you got to give me a little bit better diligence in trying to reach me. But the reason I'm telling you this is because when I call people back, they're absolutely surprised that I actually called them or reached back. I don't tell you that I am going to do that without really meaning it. I mean, you shouldn't be surprised if you reached out to me and said, hey, you know, how can I start working with like-minded people? Because I had that call this week. Now, Julie, who I spoke to this week, Julie, if you're listening today, please get back with me or reach out to Woody, because bottom line, he doesn't have your email, or he doesn't know it because you're not getting his emails, or you need to respond to him. Because in talking to Woody, he doesn't know your email or how to contact you. He doesn't have anything on you. So anyway, and you know, Woody, I don't want to say Woody's a real common name, but maybe it's a different Woody that you know. So let's get back and get connected so that we can get things moving in North Carolina. Forgive me, I seem to always get the frog when I try to talk these days. But anyway, what I also need to bring up is, and I need to reemphasize this, and I think this is why at the beginning of the year it became very critical education in talking about the seven paths. Now, sitting down and looking at what are the ways Americans can get back and get engaged in trying to take back our country, to try to take back our government and restore the rule of law. Can we just elect a person? Can a person do that? No, a person cannot do that. Trump cannot do that. Not even the president can do it unless the president is a constitutionally minded president and uses the Constitution. That's the key right there. Doesn't use tyranny like executive orders and those things. So you need to go back, because I just had it a couple months ago. There are 13 shows of what a constitutional president can do for this nation. If you listen to that and you go, hey, Trump, listen to that and promise that you'll do those things, then we might actually have a decent president. But right now, I'm telling you, the party system and the way things are playing out, our nation is up for grabs for who has the money and that level of money over the control of our processes. We're just that corrupt. So as we go through the path, the party is one of the most corrupt parts of our form of government. And if you haven't read Why Counties Matter Most, you need to. It is on the Constitutional Perspectives page. I'm thinking about putting a copy on the Constitutional Articles page, just due to the fact that I deliberately put the Constitutional Perspectives page on the menu, on my site menu. It's way down at the bottom. There's a gap. You got all these little buttons, petitions, constitutional articles, podcasts, archives, all these little buttons, and way down below all of those buttons, you'll find the why do I do that? Why did I do that one thing? Because I know most people really do want to read these enlightening articles. These are academic articles. I'm exposing you to the facts. I'm actually giving you source documents that actually prove my point. So if I put it right at the top, then you won't consider looking through all of the things you're bypassing, like the petitions, like, you know, the shows, the podcasts, and other information. So I deliberately kind of put it at the bottom so that you go, huh, oh, well, I'm kind of bypassing a lot of other content, because most all the content on this, on my website, is critical. My Constitutional Articles page, in working with improving the website, I'm actually going to create a new web page that is going to be source documents. In other words, I am going to give you the ratification debates. Now, these are my copies. These are not altered. They just have additional highlights and help, you know, such as, you know, formatting, that type of stuff, to help you guide yourself through so that you don't have to, you know, seek page, or use the seek function. You have a navigation pane that you can, I mean, I think what I've done is very nice. It's very helpful for anybody to be able to use these documents to find out where you are. And if you find something that's really good, you can use that in a citation in, you know, something that you want to say. Folks, start citing your sources. If we start citing the sources, we start proving that these founding documents are critical, then we're starting to win the battle, because the battle is only, we only win the battle when we can actually prove our points. Now, I'm going to dive down this rat hole, because I don't put the Federalist Papers in a highlight. I'm going to put them up, but I'm going to put this little clause on the page regarding the Federalist Papers. The Federalist Papers are insightful. They're not legally binding. However, it has come to my attention that in many law courses and in our court system today, our judges and lawyers demand that we use the Federalist Papers and not the ratification debates. However, the framers clearly pointed specifically the father of our Constitution, James Madison, clearly pointed to the ratification debates as the only metric in understanding the Constitution, not the Federalist Papers. So why? Why is it that the court system wants you to dive into the Federalist Papers? Well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. Because they're not specific, they're ambiguous, they're editorials, and they dive into theory. And so this kind of begs this real problem that I've been mentioning, and I'm going to emphasize it now. As we've wandered forward, and because we have obscured the importance of this compact called our Constitution and how it was defined in the ratification, because we've abandoned that very fundamental principle. This goes all the way back to the beginning of time with our covenants with God. As we make covenants with God today, it is the same. Based on how we understand that is how we are going to be judged. And it's not, the Federalist Papers were not the definitions of how the nation understood it at the time. Madison clearly stated, and he did this in 1821, much later, when people wanted him to provide his notes on the Constitution. And I'm telling you, the notes on the Constitutional Convention are very legitimate notes in guiding us to understand why they did what they did in that Constitution. But to understand the end results of how it was justified and how it was sold, the ratification debates are the only documents that matter, because those are the only things where the Constitution was justified. In the Federalist Papers, these were just interesting editorial arguments and theoretical arguments. Because many times, like Federalist Paper 10, there were lots of theoretical points. Hamilton dove deep into theory, both in the Federalist Papers as well as the ratification debate, which to me kind of tells you that during the ratification debates, he didn't get as nearly as specific as he did in the Federalist Papers, which creates suspicion in my mind. Why didn't he say specifically those things as harshly as he said them in the Federalist Papers? Because he wasn't under oath to when he was writing the Federalist Papers. This was an article that just got published. So let me back up. The point is this, folks, is that if we would have kept this understanding on the Constitution, I want to pull myself out of this rat hole now, if we would have kept our sight on what the ratification debate stated, then we probably would have had brilliant minds that would have connected the dot that we have no likeness in the form of government we were given. There is no likeness of the doctrine of magistrates, where we have sheriffs that are all powerful, where we have this form of government of a theocracy. All of those things were absolutely cleansed. We had a pure governing system that gave us and protected our individual liberty and sovereignty. And so, I mean, there's no government that's ever done this, folks. And so had we actually had this foundation that really clarified the Constitution, I believe that by now we would have had our Blackstone moment in America under our constitutional rule of law. What does that mean? I believe that we would have had one, two, maybe many brilliant minds writing books regarding the constitutional basis of common law, or how common law is in America is to be founded on the Constitution, not the Bible. Not your Bible, not their Bible, the Constitution. Now, I love the Bible. I love my Bible. I'm sure you love yours. And maybe yours is the same as mine, but there's way too many other Bibles out there that I say no. And you would probably say no, too. And so this is why we were given this system. This is why I go through this time and time again with many people. We were given a system that said that we don't have to actually have this ambiguity. We now have a very specified compact. In other words, it's specified and limited to what is specified. There are no general powers. Do you fathom this? That there's never been a government ever that has been erected that had very limited and defined roles, responsibilities, powers, and properties. In other words, everything was specified. If it's not specified, they can't do it. This goes back to the fraud. Look at all the fraud, all the money they're spending. If you're getting this, if you're getting this concept, then we can really start grabbing, and you can see how what's left of this Constitution is still a sword or a weapon that will cause mortal damage to our enemy. Because when the people embrace the Constitution and this rule of law in restoring our constitutional republic, then there is no stopping us. We have the ability to snap this system back and rip it from the clutches of the globalists. That's how far we've gone. So as I look and I go, well, why am I having these problems in getting people to break away from their trappings, these failures of why do you keep going into the court? Why do you keep going into the party and saying, yeah, we're going to use the party and political theatrics? You are the problem. All of these people, they are a part of the problem. And I know many of these people, and I think they're good. But because they refuse to accept the truth and refuse to do what is necessary, then I've got my serious doubts. Folks, I've got serious doubts. Thus far, these trappings of failure just ring and ring and ring in my head. And I just don't know, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not? I know I'm getting through to many. Not enough, folks. Not enough. And so this is why I've kind of mentioned again, and I'm going to go through this now. This is why those who are blindly jumping into the pigsty, the prodigal child, to fight corruption within these corrupt vestiges, these bastions where you cannot clean them up from within. Obama was right when he said you cannot fix D.C. within D.C. He was absolutely right. He knew this. The devil will give you some truths. He will give you some very insightful pieces and nuggets where people go, that's right. But he gave you no mechanism of how to fix D.C. And the way we fix D.C. is we start with your counties. But again, those people keep diving into these pigsties to fight corruption. Only to find out, and it seems like, once you get the crap beat out of you, you walk out and you're completely exhausted and you're going, oh, and you finally realize that the rules in the pigsty are equally corrupt as the corruption you're fighting. In other words, there's no respect for the rules. They will make it up as they go along. It's like children are absolutely in charge, and there is no semblance of cognitive powers. Whatever they want, they're going to get, they'll make the rules to actually justify their ends. So these corrupt bastions that you want to dive into is the party. I tell you, now you will actually hear me in my calls with mentoring and others. I tell people to go into the party. Because we have to wake those people up that are in the party and call them to compliance to the Constitution. And what I mean by that is we have to actually start pointing out that the party needs to get behind First Amendment petitions and demanding compliance to the Constitution and lead on that. That's how we convert those people and make them weapons. But we will talk more about the party and these weapons when we come back from this this nice little break from this montage. We'll be right back, folks.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so we were just talking about those people who are diving into the party and actually following the rules of the party. In other words, if you don't go into the pigsty and actually challenge the pigsty itself for existing and the way it's functioning and operating, then you're making the big mistake. You go in there and go, okay, well, I don't know much about the party. And there's going to be people that'll tell you much about the party. And as far as I'm concerned, what they're telling you has nothing to do with the Constitution. And bottom line, let me just remind you, if you are a citizen of the United States, the laws of every state, the state that you reside in, there is a law that exists where the state has the power and authority to compel every citizen to take up arms to defend that Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. And I say that because, as we know, every citizen is considered a combatant today because Congress sets those rules and the Constitution gives Congress the authority to set those rules. Not that I like those rules. We need to fix that. It should go back to males. It should go back to men. But we have to change our paradigm. There's too many people that think everything is equal and everything needs to be equal. And that's just not true. And that's, yeah, but nevertheless, it takes time to fix all of these little problems. But the fact is that if your party is allowing and actually using processes that are outside those boundaries and actually supporting things that are outside the boundaries of the Constitution, then you have a real problem. Your party is a part of the problem. And if they are getting you to doing these things, then you are a part of the problem. We have to be a part of the solution. And what we do is we go in and we say, how can we do not have a committee? And as a matter of fact, you have to be, you know, the obstinate pain in the butt in telling people, why is it we do not have a committee as a part of this party in actually managing and driving First Amendment petitions into our county and demanding county compliance to the Constitution? Stop all the federal funding coming into this county. It shouldn't be coming. If we stop the spending, if we stop the spigot, we're going to create a backlog. And we're actually going to start proving that the federal government has no authority to do this by using these petitions. This is how we educate everybody. These petitions, this is what Martin Luther discovered. Going down this path of creating a movement, of educating people and teaching them the truth, that's how he turned the entire Germanic states on a path in seeking the truth. Same thing with the courts. If we go down this path or you dive into the pigsty we call our court system and you think that you're using, I mean, it's one, you can't avoid the courts today if you get a traffic ticket or what have you. But if you're going into the court and you are actually, you know, trying to fight the court based on their own rules, because I see this today, then you're the part of the problem. because you have to call out the courts and its violations constantly. We have to constantly use the Constitution as the metric. And understanding the Constitution, the only way you can do this is you understand the Constitution and how it was ratified, period. I see people today, I've run into people on, you know, almost on a weekly basis. Oh, look at what this person's doing. They're going to do this. And I'm going, no, they're not. That pigsty is so corrupt, they're not even following the rules. Right? I had an interview with Todd Callender. Nice guy. He's got a, you know, big heart and trying to do good things. But where is he in actually fixing the problem of the oath? Because that's what he's wrestling with. And he's wrestling within the court system with their own rules. And I'm just telling you that the court system itself is completely corrupt. The only court system that we're actually going to be able to utilize with the rule of law is our common law constitutional courts. In other words, common law courts based on the Constitution, not based on the Bible, not based on, you know, the statutes and, you know, case law and precedents, but based on the Constitution. So, folks, if you want to choose the court system, then the only thing you can do is start petitioning them for how they're violating the law, the rule of law, and the Constitution, and challenge these court clerks, the judges, the lawyers, challenge all of these folks as officers of our court who are supposed to be supporting the Constitution, period. And instead, they're supporting the bar and its perversions of our court system. The other path is nullification. Oh, well, that's a little bit different. That's not the usual status quo, right? Well, let's go try that. If you go and you nullify, your state nullifies and actually breaks away from the Department of Education and you actually go down your own path, did that actually fix our problem? One state actually stopping the education indoctrination in your state when 49 other states are going to continually do that the same thing and actually weaponize our children to destroy us? I'm telling you, you're not fixing the problem. Nullification is incapable. It is impotent to what our problem is. Ignoring the law, ignoring the rules, ignoring the problem never fixes it. Well, if a child is acting out, if you ignore them, they'll just go away. That is not a working solution. That child actually needs to be reprimanded. It needs to be interposed. Because if you understand interposition, it is the process of arresting the bad behavior and saying you should not be doing that. That's the right thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. But we'll get into interposition because there's a couple of other problematic areas. Nullification, the party, the court, we just covered those. A convention of states, an Article 5 convention. Oh, well, that's the process of how to take it back. And these people are out there convincing you that that is the process of fixing government overreach. Near as I can tell, folks, that is a process of changing language of the Constitution. It will change a deficit if the Constitution is the problem. Is the Constitution the problem? No. What government is doing is the problem. So that can't be it. Well, maybe they want to give the government more power. Well, that would be a real problem. We don't want them to have more power. They're already exercising power they don't have and shouldn't have. Oh, well, what about taking away a power? Well, if we take away a power, and they're already doing things that they're not supposed to do, then what good would it be to say you can't tax us anymore? They're going to continually do that, just like they're continuing to spend money on the infrastructure or spending money on health care or spending money on the education. Folks, they're going to continue. The convention is impotent as well. Impotent. Nullification is impotent. They can't fix the problem. But they're telling you, oh, well, this is the... Oh, because they make a decent argument? I'm telling you, these guys are speaking with forked tongues. These men and women are speaking with forked tongues. Prove me wrong. You know, I don't seek debates. I don't. But if you really want to, you know, if somebody wants to come to me to debate, and you're standing in a position of leadership, like the John Birch Society or the Convention of States, Meckler, if Meckler wants to actually argue and debate with me, then let's bring it on. But he doesn't want to. He's afraid to. He's afraid of actually losing the argument because I'm not here to provide an alternate bad solution like the John Birch Society. Or in the alternate bad solution to the John Birch Society is what the convention said. They've actually got us believing it's binary to a convention, yes or no. No! Interposition! That's the only solution. And anybody that tells you that Article 5 is the only process in the Constitution of holding government accountable is not even, they're not even accepting that the First Amendment exists, or they're just completely ignorant of the fact that right there in the First Amendment is the process of what we're supposed to do. The Constitution, the First Amendment, it says you have a right. This right cannot be abridged to petition government for the redress of grievances. And I'm telling you right now, the Convention of States has zero petitions. Zero. Why? Because if we started using petitions, and if you started looking at our petitions and started reading these things, you'd actually start understanding the Constitution and the limitations placed on that government. You would actually start understanding what the real problem. We would place context to the problem. And that's how we get out of this, just like what Martin Luther did. He printed the Bible. We're printing petitions. We're proving by using the Constitution. Go read the Constitution and then read our petitions and prove us wrong. It's that simple, folks. It really is. There's another process, though. There's another path. There's the divorce, secession, or the surrender. Right? Divorce is basically saying, I'm not going to be a citizen anymore. I'm going to become a sovereign citizen. I'm going to join this jural assembly. I'm going to join this Madame von Ritz or whatever, Anna von Ritz. You know me in names. Anna. That's the name you should remember, right? But anyway, I'm going to go and join her because she makes this great argument that all of this stuff is legitimate. Because, folks, when you read her crap, she's telling you that these things are legitimate. And I'm telling you that they have no authority to do this based on how that Constitution ended up. This actually proves the divine hand of providence in the creation of this nation. Even though there may have been hands, may have been people that were corrupt, you can always find the flaws in the people. You cannot find the flaws in this system and the source documents that created it. Yeah, Rhode Island has always been problematic. They didn't even ratify the Constitution properly. I've already said that. When I go through, and last year when I went through the states that basically rubber stamped it, I pointed out that at least those other states actually convened a convention to ratify. Rhode Island didn't. The state legislature just rubber stamped it because they had to join the union. So again, Rhode Island has always been this little problem stepchild ever since the Articles of Association. Because when we went into the Articles of Confederation, they were always the problem. And today, as the smallest state in the union, they need us more than anybody now. But you know what? They're still being a problem. They're obstinate and they're as progressive as they possibly can be. What the heck's happened to America, folks? It's our education system. It's our ignorance on the Constitution. You know, if you start understanding the rule of law, you won't even get, you can't even be played into thinking a jural assembly, sovereign citizens, you can't be played. Because they're telling you that what you're dealing with is a legitimate thing. These courts, that's legitimate. No, they're not. They're not invoking common law and the rule of the law on the Constitution. And so when we look at, and when we even see courts that are actually telling us these doctrines of magistrate, because there have been courts that have done this, that does not exist. we've had so many different inconsistencies and problems, and this all has everything to do with how Hamilton, Marshall, and many of the leagues of evil lawyers in America in the early days who deliberately obviated the ratification debates. He said, no, we're going to look at the Federalist Papers. We don't want to listen to what we said. We know what we said, and we don't want to hear that. We're not going to bring that up. There's reasons for that, folks. That's how they've been able to justify their evil and their perversion of our Constitution. So divorce, secession, or surrendering is no way to solve the problem. Right? Divorce, that means you've given up. Secession, that means you've given up. You're not solving the problem. And as a matter of fact, the world will continue to fall if America falls. Divorcing does not stop America from falling. We need every able body, hand, and state in this fight. A revolution. Oh, well, the fight. Yeah, that's the, there it is right there. Let's take up arms and start using guns and revolt and take back this country with force. Well, let's look at history for a quick moment. Every time force is used, you never preserve what you have. Because what you do is you create anarchy and chaos, and from the ashes arises an evil being. Look at Napoleon. Napoleon rose, and I'm just telling you, America was blessed once by getting this Constitution, and we have everything we need to restore it. We reject the Constitution and seek a revolution, then we are actually playing in the, I'll just say, the contentious one, the one that actually wants to defeat us, because that means we're abandoning the rule of law. Our weapon is the Constitution. It's not. And as a matter of fact, our weapon is superior to the best technological weapons that our military has. We have the greatest military on the earth. And the greatest weapon that can actually put them down to a, break them asunder, you know, break them apart and crush them, is the Constitution. The only path that will save us is direct and deliberate interposition by demanding compliance of our public servants. Because remember, folks, our government isn't that building. Our government isn't that parcel of land they call the District of Columbia. Our government is not, you know, our capitals. Our government is not those cars and the guns that people carry. Our government are the people themselves that we elect and we employ to serve us. And if they're not abiding by the rule of law, then it is our obligation to use the Constitution, because the Constitution demands that they be removed. It's right there. We have a cell. It's, you know, how many people have an oven at home? Everybody's raising their hand. They have an oven. How many times have you used that self-cleaning feature? Now, that self-cleaning feature is coming from the manufacturer. And they've done a pretty decent job in helping by using that to clean your oven. But it's not perfect, is it? Our self-cleaning system that was given by the divine inspiration actually is perfect. It will work. All we have to do is we have to demand it. We, the people, have to demand it. Okay, so now we're starting to recognize that we've let the genie out of the bottle for so long that we just don't have enough people in some areas that are going to go along. But you know what, folks? We have history and the law on our side. Any person, and so I've made this post in social media recently, any person, because I just talked about this, any person who is supporting the demise and destruction, the perversion of our children, and supporting this unconstitutional education system, supporting this unconstitutional legal system, you know, and not supporting the actual 13th Amendment, So this is why understanding the Constitution and doing an audit at the county level, because once you understand this, then you'll realize that people that are a part of the Bar Association that are actually a part of the Bar Association really can't even be citizens. Go read the 13th Amendment. Only Congress can allow them. The problem is most of Congress can't be citizens either because most of them are bar members. Ah, you know what? Being a bar member is this huge status of control and power and money. And I'm here to tell you that most every lawyer that steps into that and bathes in the bar, they are corrupt. And to get them to actually dismantle the bar system would force them to actually, you know, do something more than just law for a living. Because the only reason we have the problems we have is because the law and those people in the law have been soaking it and perverting it and changing it to meet their needs. You see this all the time. You know, my wife and I are watching Law and Order, and we actually see where judges or lawyers are deliberately trying to pursue the changing of the law to meet their needs. Anyway, interposition is the only process. And if you look up the definition of interposition, it is a very direct and deliberate action to seizing and stopping the progress of evil. This is why I tried, and over the course of, you know, things have just kind of come out because people go, well, why can't we have the doctrine of magistrates and all these other things? Understanding our origins is the only way we, the people, can start seeing why people are drawn to a theocracy and yet their hearts are filled with conceit. And what I am telling you folks is as nice as it would be to have your own theocracy, like I said, you know, you may like your Bible, but if your Bible is not my Bible and you look at my Bible and say, I don't like your Bible, then how is it that we're all adjoining to a theocracy? Theocracies today are steeped with absolute problems, and the framers understood this. And not recognizing that from this point forward, the only true theocracy that we should actually be seeking and wanting to support is the theocracy that Christ will build when he comes. Because anybody, even in your Bible, it warns us and tells us about false prophets. And if we're living in these times of false prophets, then we actually shouldn't be trying to create theocracies. I mean, it's one thing to seek for yourself, right? I mean, I encourage everybody to seek enlightenment and seek better knowledge and you know, seek, you know, and expand yourself in the gospel. You know, this takes me back to what I was saying last week, and I think probably 2 weeks ago and in other shows, where I've talked about this problem of Christianity today. You know, we need to start actually seeking, because the Bible does tell us, and it speaks to in Revelations about an angel with the gospel. Maybe we should prostrate ourselves and start seeking if there's any existence of, at this point in time, of any type of angelic deliverance of the gospel. But again, I don't want to be preaching. I don't want to have this show where, you know, you come to heal yourself spiritually. We, and my effort is to heal this nation spiritually, not by a Bible, but by the law that we were given. We were divinely inspired. And I am telling you, only he knew what we were facing. You've heard me say this time and time again. He knew what we would be facing in these days. His providence was pure. And I'm here to tell you folks that if we use what he gave us, we will win. My mind keeps on thinking, you know, and I'm not sure if anybody else is in this space, but I think of Matthew 24 and that time when supposedly this rapture occurs. It's not a rapture. We'll actually see if this event is going to happen, where those of us who understand and are attuned with the Spirit will recognize that this is the time we need to walk away. We need to, it tells us to go into the woods, get off the rooftops, get out of the fields, and go into the woods. And I'm thinking, well, how can you do this if you live in, you know, in a literal sense, if you live in the city? Or if you're living in a community, you know, this big, huge HOA or a big, huge development in the suburbs, how can you just walk away? Folks, all I know is there is this literal sense. And the metaphor of the Passover and obedience comes to mind. Simple obedience. I don't think that you'll need to, because maybe he knew in the last days we wouldn't have access to lamb's blood. Very few people even know. I mean, I have tried to get a lamb or sheep, you know, and have a rack of lamb for Easter or what have you, just to, you know, have the appropriate meat on the table. And it's not that easy to get a hold of. As a matter of fact, some stores don't even carry it. Or if you get it, there's not enough for everybody. My point is this, that only he must have known that. Only he must have known that we all wouldn't have lamb. And that we couldn't just put, you know, blood over our doorway. That the simple obedience to possibly just getting and walking away is important. Let's just keep that in mind. And let's also think that when we're walking away, not to look back. Because that lesson of what happens when we look back and turn into a pillar of salt. So, I think that, you know, this is what goes through my mind. Am I going to, because here's the argument and here's the problem. Are we going to be willing to actually just start walking away? Walk away from our possessions, our home, our, you know, everything. Whether that's just walking down the street, you know, I'm walking away. Maybe that's all it really takes. Because, you know, when you take things, you know, into real context and people, oh, well, you know, I got to get in my car and drive to the woods. No, folks, I don't think that's the same thing. I think we have to just abandon everything. That's just my 2 cents, and I hate preaching. But the arguments of laws respecting religion today have actually become hypocritical, and they have actually become tyrannical. And I talk about this, and because as I look in the post of social media because of the, you know, Pride Month and so forth, you know, let's start looking and start challenging things with these types of context. When you see that there's going to be a reading at the library, you know, you should have an equal access and an equal right to go and have a reading that's adjacent to their reading. And in your reading, why don't you tell the stories of Noah, Lot, and, you know, and Revelations and so forth. Maybe we need to bring the Bible back into our libraries, because bottom line, the Bible cannot be excluded from the library. As a matter of fact, the First Amendment demands that there can be no law respecting religion, so they can't ban it. And they have been, and we have to say you can't. There should be no laws respecting religion. And we also have equal access under the law, or the 14th Amendment gives us equal protection under the law. So if they can play with, you know, these doctrines of morality and so forth, so can we. We need to demand our equal protection. You start understanding how the Constitution actually is a very powerful weapon when we actually use it and say, we demand equal access. We demand equal protection. You can't have the monopoly on protection of what you want to say, and we can't say what we want to say. And they use the separation of church and state, and that right there is a law respecting religion. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.